We'll try to make this as clear as we can. First, you go to davidhocking.org on the web. You click on links, and you come to Temple Mount. Click it on. Beautiful photography, also from the air, and there's some satellite photography, and it discusses three possibilities of where the temple was, that is the Holy of Holies. There's about 70 lectures, both Jewish and Christian, on there for you to study, and that will help you. Number two, there's one book I recommend on this. I didn't write it, but wish I did. It's written by Dr. Randall Price, who is the archaeologist of all archaeologists. Mm-hmm. He was also head of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the only non-Israeli. Dr. Price is now the Dean of Liberty Seminary. He has a website called World of the Bible Ministries. Every book he has, I would buy. When we go down to Qumran, for instance, they have all his books. He has a book on the Dead Sea Scrolls. First of all, he writes easy to read on some very heavy stuff. He has a classic called The Stones Cry Out. And that is a basic primer for learning about archaeology in the Holy Land. And I do recommend that. He has others that are more complex. The one book he has written that I think is a classic and always will be is on the temple. It was his doctoral dissertation at University of Texas. And interestingly, his faculty monitors were Orthodox Jews, Jewish rabbis. So you have some strong expertise. It's about 1,000 pages. It's everything you've ever wanted to know about the temple that's in the Bible. Okay? Now, there are many, many scholars, more so now than ever, who believe that this little building called the Dome of the Spirits is sitting right over the Holy of Holies. Of course, a lot of feet down. How do we know this? We do know that the Holy of Holies was in a direct line from the gate that entered on the west into the temple area and the original eastern gate, which is straight here. You go over there and they'll tell you about the eastern gate, but it actually is there. So this is in a direct line. That's the first thing. Number two, on Thursday evening after dinner, we will have the privilege of going to the rabbinic tunnel, which goes all across there down below. You will see the giant Roman stones. You will also not be able to observe, unless there are people there that know, that at one time you could see the outline of the gate that was the western gate of the temple. It happens to be in direct line of this. Of course, a lot lower. And it was in that gate, if you'll remember your news a few years ago, that the Jewish rabbis were digging at an angle under it at night when nobody knew. Why is that? Because they believed that underneath the Solomon Temple were vaults. And in ancient times, if you're being attacked, there's plenty of time to hide things. Might be months before they get here. So they believe that probably the Ark of the Covenant is down there. This is a very strong Orthodox opinion. The only thing we know is that from the time of Hezekiah, when the Assyrians came and besieged Judah, surrounded Jerusalem, mocked him. Hezekiah went into his private chamber and fell before God and said, Lord, if you don't deliver us, no one will. The Lord sent the angel of the Lord. It's not an angel, it's the word messenger in Hebrew. And we believe it's the Messiah himself. He killed 185,000 Assyrians that night. And they believe that that was the last time the Ark and its effects were ever known. If you saw the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, remember that one?
Yeah.
You remember at the end where rays of light shot out from the ark and people disintegrated?
Yeah.
They actually pull passages together, the Orthodox do, including Zechariah, in the final battle of Armageddon, where there's a disintegration by a very powerful light, which they believe came out of the Ark of the Covenant. So they created a story. I'm not telling you this is the absolute truth. I'm just telling you that it's a story. And it's possible that they're right. Now, we don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is, but after that time, there is no mention of the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, in the Herodian temple, there was no Ark. And that's often a big surprise to Christians who say differently. I was listening to a pastor on the radio who was talking about how wonderful it must have been with the Ark of the Covenant, and Yeshua probably was allowed in. He made up all kinds of stories, which, of course, was ridiculous because there was no Ark. No. No. I'm recording. Please wait. Please wait. So, in the process of trying to find out where the Ark of the Covenant is, we've had other views. One, that Solomon gave it to the Queen of Sheba, and they had it down in Ethiopia. Why is that? Because they actually have some caretakers of a place they think is the Ark of the Covenant. I was invited to go and had the brains enough not to. The truth is, it's fabrication, it's story. Let's understand something. God is not in the box.
Amen.
Okay? But that, of course, is the big issue here that's being created. Now, what a lot of people don't understand about the peace agreement that started at Oslo, September 13th, 1993, Oslo 1 and 2, by the way, that was all financed by Prince Charles. Camp David Summit 1 and 2, why agreements? All of them, interestingly, the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, is the Jewish temple. Every time. You remember when Yasser Arafat walked out of those meetings and we all were a little humiliated watching President Clinton go after him? But the reason he walked out is because Ehud Barak, the present Minister of Defense, was Prime Minister and really gave them the store, almost 90%. It was unbelievable, of land. And so people were shocked that Arafat said no. Why? Well, you wouldn't know anything unless you read the transcript. If you read the transcript, you know why. It's a temple. You see, Muslims know that this is the most important site to Jewish people. So they are not going to give it up, they think. Okay? Now, it's very possible, therefore, that this is more likely the site. This little building may be directly, if you dug all the way down, right over where the Holy of Holies was. We don't know, but it's very possible because of the positioning of the gates. And interestingly, in the negotiations of Camp David Summit 2, President Clinton suggested a plan, which is still known as the Clintonian Plan for the peace of Israel. He said, knowing this Orthodox view of the Dome of the Spirits, he said, well, what we could do is build a wall on the north side of the Dome of the Rock, a giant wall. Let the Jews, you know, they're going to have to cleanse it anyway and very elaborate proceedings, and let them build a temple on the north side and then bring in United Nations troops to monitor it. Well, they've never monitored anything around the world, so I doubt if that's a great plan. But that is still in vogue. That is still being discussed. So you see, there is a movement, let's say that, in our time, to argue the north side of the temple area as being the spot of the ancient Jewish temple, right here. And that's a possibility. What is the problem in it is that building, the Dome of the Rock, is sitting over the rock that supposedly Abraham offered Isaac. Now, is that true? Well, before all the trouble started, we used to go in there, and you can go underneath that rock, and it is a drainage area. And actually, the drainage goes out of there over into the Kidron Valley. And they believe it was, on the basis of that, an ancient sacrificial area. So there are a lot of Jews that don't like this view because of it. and say, well, it must be that. We got ourselves a problem. I would like to bring a little biblical understanding to this. We know the Jews are going to build a temple somewhere. And it's going to exist during the day of the Lord, the Great Tribulation. It's mentioned by the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. We also know that that temple is the temple into which the Antichrist, who will make the peace agreement and the possibility of having a Jewish temple a reality, he will then break his covenant and will go into that temple and demand that they worship him as God, and that's when all hell breaks out. The real temple that we're talking about, what Jews call the third temple, is built only by the Messiah. You see, how do you know that? Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. He is going to be a king and a priest, and he will build the temple of the Lord. That temple will be bigger than this entire mount. There are going to be topographical changes. He's going to lower all the mountains, and he's going to exalt the mountain on which the Messianic temple sits. It's going to be the highest mountain in the Middle East. And on top of that will be this new, wonderful temple that's described in detail in the last nine chapters of the prophet Ezekiel. So there's a lot of interesting things coming. So the discussions about the temple today are really not about the Messiah. And I wanted to tell you this before we get to the Temple Institute. I'm an old person, like Duran. And Jacob is a lot younger than we are. He's in better shape. But early 70s when we went, the Temple Institute always said, when people asked them, which they always did, when are you guys going to build a temple? They'd always say, well, we can't do that, only the Messiah. And they would quote Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. I don't know when it was, Duran. It was around the Antifada starting, something. They all of a sudden changed it. In fact, I made a scene that day as they were telling us that they're going to build the temple. I raised my hand. I said, you mean when the Messiah comes? They said, no, our rabbis have now concluded that we're supposed to build the temple to receive the Messiah. I said, well, there is going to be one built according to the Bible, and you are going to receive somebody claiming to be the Messiah, but he's the Antichrist. And she looked at me and said, you're an evangelical. Well, I said, it has nothing to do with being an evangelical. That's what the Bible says. So you understand the drama here. So when you go over the Temple Institute, don't make a big deal. Just listen to them. But they're trying to make all of the furniture, garments, oils, frankincense, all of that. And it is rather spectacular. And Duran and Jacob will remember when there was tension between the Israeli government and these people, the Temple Mount faithful. There still is a little bit. But actually, Israel has come to accept it a lot more. Why? Because of all the terrible trouble they've had with this peace agreement. And so they're for anybody that wants to ensure the spiritual identity and security of the Jewish people. So you're going to see some interesting things, and I know most of you here, being first-timers, you've never seen it. You're going to be impressed. It is amazing what they have done. But the argument over where it should go continues. There is also one on the south side. You know, we're going to be there on the steps that they have found.
That's what we do now, and then we go to the Temple Institute.
Right. So that's another possible location that people have discussed. We now know that this Temple Mount area is what the New Testament calls the Hi'eron. Can you pronounce that? Hi'eron. Hi'eron is referring to the outer courts, everything but the actual temple. The actual temple in Greek is Naos. Mm-hmm. Naos. Okay? So we don't know where the Naos is. But the outer court had to be big. People ask all the time, is this whole area? It actually could have been bigger. Why? Because at Jewish festivals, there are three of them, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, in which every Jewish male, 20 years old and above, has to come to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And Josephus indicates that the population that he argued was around 250,000 people would be 10 times the amount at the Jewish festivals. They were everywhere, living with folks and putting up tents and all that. Well, he also indicated that all of those people were here on the Temple Mount at Passover. All the priests are on duty killing lambs. He even argues that there were 260,000 lambs killed on the day of Passover the year before the temple was destroyed. Well, a lamb goes for 10 people minimum, 20 maximum. So you understand, we may have as high as 3 million people. And it's, it's important for us as we look at this to understand this is more modern, okay? But how big this place was and where the actual holy place was, we really don't know. But I do agree with the Orthodox rabbis that because of the lineup, if you go down, the lineup, it is very possible that this is sitting right where the Holy of Holies was. So the temple would go out this way. Okay? And we need to keep moving. We have a lot to do today. But any questions that you have?